And thank you for coming again, Pastor Jim. He stayed at Lou's Lodge last night with all the pheasant hunters. He was probably the only one without a gun. So, welcome.
Dog. Yeah, lots of dogs, and they were howling this morning. They needed to be fed, I think, so that they could get going. Well, I'm glad to be back in Madison. I've been bragging all week in the Twin Cities about this wonderful group of Christian brothers and sisters I've discovered out here on the prairie, and how enthusiastic you are. I do think you need to figure out a way to get a little bit more energy into Harlow. But other than that, I really enjoy being with you and enjoy this fellowship. You know, I'm with you just for a short time here to kind of bridge to whoever will come next, and I know Minnesota Conference is working on that. But I'm with you this Sunday and two more Sundays, and during those three Sundays, I'm going to invite you to take a look with me at Jesus. And I know most of you say, well, we know Jesus, you know. If we know anything, we know Jesus. We go to church, after all. And I think in some ways, even if you went out into the rest of Madison, people who don't go to church and say, do you know Jesus? Most people would say, oh yeah, we've heard about Jesus. We know who he is. But sometimes I wonder if we really do. And I think even for those of us who've been Christians for a long, long time, once in a while it's a good exercise to just put our preconceived notions aside for a little bit and go back to the Scriptures and take a look at Jesus. Look at the things he said. Look at the things he did while he was here on earth. And maybe when we do that, all of our ideas of Jesus are confirmed. But maybe we will, in that exercise, see some things that are new. Some things we have never seen before. So, just enter into that project with me for these next three Sundays. Let's set aside our preconceived notions of Jesus, go directly to the Scriptures, the records of Jesus' life here on earth, and ask ourselves this question: who is this man, Jesus? What did he do while he was here on earth? How did he relate to other people? What did he say? What can we learn about him? And then through him, what can we learn about God? And I'm not going to ask you to stand for the Scripture, all the Scripture reading this morning like you usually do, because I'm going to use a lot of Scripture, and I'd have you standing about halfway through the sermon, and I don't think you want to do that. But I will follow your tradition, so let's at least stand and say what you always stand. Say, okay, this is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to run through a whole series of incidents from the life of Jesus. Scripture after Scripture after Scripture. Kind of bear with me, would you, at this point? And every time a Scripture comes up or an incident from the life of Jesus, I want you to look at it and say, what do I learn about Jesus in that incident? What did Jesus say at that incident? What do I see about Jesus here? And of course, I think you'll learn from every one of the incidents, but hopefully they'll just kind of start piling up, and when we take them all together, we'll get a far stronger, far more complete image of Jesus than we've had before. So the first incident is Mark 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. Now look at Mark 3:1, a second incident. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up here in front of everyone." And then Jesus asked the critics, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill. But they remained silent, and he looked around in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and it was completely restored. Now look at Mark 5, beginning with the 25th verse. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people all crowding about you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now look at Mark 6:34. A little different kind of an incident. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said. And it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. And they said, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. Let's go 4 chapters on to Mark 10 and this incident in the life of Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the little children in his arms and put his hand on them and blessed them. And one more gospel portion this morning, Mark 12:41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Now, I know that's a lot of scripture to throw at you all at once, and I thank you for hanging in there with me this morning. But as you were listening to the stories, as you were seeing it up here on the screen or looking at it in your own Bibles, what did you see? What did you hear? What did you learn about Jesus? Some of you will say, well, I heard stories about healing. Yes, there are several stories about healing in there, aren't there? But they're not all stories about healing. Someone else will say, well, he cared for the children. Yes, I think that's an important story for us to include in this picture this morning. And then maybe someone else will say, well, he didn't ignore a little elderly woman. He saw what she had done. He saw what a sacrifice she had made, even though she made it in a very quiet and an unassuming way. when you put them all together, I think a unifying theme, maybe the unifying theme that pulls all of these passages together is not healing, not children, not the elderly. But I would suggest to you this morning that the theme that comes through is compassion. The Bible even uses that word in one of these passages, Mark 6. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In the scriptures we've read this morning, we've seen Jesus touched by compassion when he saw a man whose life had been scourged by that awful disease of leprosy. We see him setting aside religious rules of no work on the Sabbath in order to take care of a man who has a shriveled hand. He has compassion on a great crowd of people just because they're hungry. He wants to meet that kind of mundane need in their life. And he has even more compassion on that crowd because he says they are like sheep without a shepherd. They don't have a direction and a purpose in life. He takes the children in his arms. He knows when a woman has reached out in faith to touch his cloak. Even in the midst of a great crowd of people, he knows the difference between the jostling of the crowd and her silent appeal. And he sees the importance of the faithful sacrifice of an elderly woman that everyone else probably had ignored. Now notice these stories happen over time. They happen at the beginning of his ministry. They happen at the end of his ministry, all the way through. This is not something that Jesus does just once and a while. Jesus is doing this all the time, all the way through his ministry. In every situation, he is looking for those who have a need. His heart goes out to those people. Even in his wider ministry, he often stops and takes care of an individual need. I wonder if you know a man or a woman in your family or among your friends who is like that. Can you think of somebody this morning in your acquaintance and you would say, here is a person who isn't just nice once in a while, but this is the kind of person that is just nice and kind and helpful to people all the time. It is just part of who they are. Many of us know somebody like that and we say, Ruth is just an extraordinary woman of compassion. John just seems to have a gift for compassion as part of his life. Let me ask you what you think about that person. Is that the kind of person that you might share important things from your life with? Is that the kind of person that you would find it easy to go to for advice? If you were in trouble, is that the person that you would turn to for help? I remember an incident in my life many years ago when I was in seminary. One of my roommates had just learned that his mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And he went to the hospital with her while she was having her surgery, sat with her there, waited until she came out of surgery in the recovery room, waited in her room until she went to sleep that night. He got home somewhere in the wee hours of the morning. And then we got up in the morning and, of course, had to go to class. And we had a test that day, I think. And the morning was busy and full of responsibilities. And he kind of waded through all of that stuff, knowing he couldn't go and see his mother until lunchtime. And then he would find out what the doctors had come and told her. And he was kind of a wreck that morning. He was kind of an emotional guy anyway, and now he had not slept for half the night, and he had all the stress of the responsibilities of the morning. I walked with him to his car at lunchtime as he was headed off to the hospital. And he just blurted out, "That was such a weird morning." He says, "My mother may be dying." And everybody was just walking by in the halls like usual, and they were laughing and they were kidding around and they were talking about what they did last night and what they were planning for the weekend. And I was wondering whether my mother is going to die. "How can people be so insensitive?" he said. "How can we just pass each other by and assume that everything is okay when maybe it's not okay? And maybe there were others there at the seminary today that have similar problems, and I don't know who they are. and I didn't know how to help them. Well, part of the responsibility was his. He had chosen not to share this with anybody else at the seminary except me. I suppose he was waiting until he knew the whole story, and then he would be able to say something. And of course, normal life was going on at the seminary, and people were walking in the halls and telling jokes and doing all the things we always do. This was not the most insensitive group of people in the world. After all, most of these people were planning to be pastors, Christian counselors. I suppose their compassion quotient was higher than in many other places it would have been. And if they had known he had a problem, they would have stopped to talk. If they had known he had a problem, they would have offered their help. And he knew that about these people. But still, I think he somehow wanted them to have an instinctive understanding of who he was, and somehow just to reach out with a word of comfort or put their hand on his shoulder just because they knew what was going on in his life. And it felt awkward to him that people were telling him jokes and laughing when what he needed was their prayers and their concern. I think at times that morning he just wanted to stop in the bustle of the hallway and just shout out, "Doesn't anybody care?" Well, think with me about what we've read about Jesus this morning. You know, I think if he had been in those seminary halls that day, he would have stopped and lifted his head, and he wouldn't have asked, "Who touched me?" But he might have said, "Someone just walked by who needs help. Who is it? Someone is here who needs prayer. Who is it who needs someone to talk to? Someone in this hallway needs help. I know it. I'd like to help." I think Jesus would have done that if he had been there, because that's what I read about him in the Scriptures. That's what you and I together have read about this morning. He was a man who reached out to the children and to the elderly. He was a man who saw a need and did something about it. He was not restrained by the conventions of the day. He didn't worry about what people would think of him. He understood the needs of people. And when they asked, "Will you help me?" he said, "Yes, I will." Jesus was a man of extraordinary insight into the human condition. And Jesus was a man of extraordinary compassion. Well, when you think of Jesus, is that what you think of? And not talking about the people in this room necessarily, but people in the world as large, I'm not sure that that's the automatic image of Jesus that comes to their mind. After all, here in this world, we see through a glass darkly. Our vision of spiritual things is distinctly clouded by the world in which we live. Our views are distorted by sin and by what we've lived in our own lives. We are limited by our human understanding, and we are limited by the distortion that Satan introduces into all of human understanding. And our views of compassion of Jesus are limited in those ways. We can read these stories and not feel that they apply to our lives. Jesus may love the children, but he wouldn't care for me, an old man, an old woman. Jesus may have healed the lepers in the first century, but what does that have to do with my heart problems in the 21st century? Jesus was never married. How can he understand the issues of my marriage, my family? Jesus is too busy to notice children today. Jesus has more things to do in this world than care for a little church of ordinary people in Madison, Minnesota. Well, I asked you earlier to think of some person in your acquaintance that you know to be a person of extraordinary compassion. We know people who are compassionate. We also know people who aren't very sensitive, people who are rude, people who are unkind. But most of us today have thought of a person who is a person of compassion and a person we would go to easily in trouble. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus like the person that you've thought of compassion, of kindness, the person you would go to easily, the person with whom you would share your very being? Or is he more like the person you couldn't trust, the person you couldn't be sensitive to your needs. I think that really matters. If there's a person who thinks that Jesus will judge them if they go to him, they're not going to turn that direction. If we think that Jesus will not care, or Jesus will ignore us, or Jesus is too busy, we're not going to turn in that direction. It matters whether you think Jesus is someone who will understand, someone who will take your part, someone who will say yes to your request. And men and women, I know Christians who have developed such an open and heartfelt relationship with Jesus that turning to Him in need is the easiest thing in the world for them to do. And I know other people who go to church and call themselves Christians and try to do the right thing who find it hard to pray to Jesus. Really find it hard that He does really love them and does really understand them. The Christians who find it easy to go to Jesus with their needs are those who are convinced in the depths of their soul that Jesus is a man of compassion and that that accurately reflects the very nature of God. And if you aren't in that camp yet, I urge you to go back to the Scriptures and read these passages we've read this morning and read them over and over again, and don't just be restricted by Mark. Go over into Luke and go over into Matthew and John and read about Jesus and look to see what this man was who walked this earth and see how he relates to the sick and the elderly and the children. And if as you read, a picture comes to you of a person of extraordinary love and understanding and compassion for everyone, then take whatever alternative picture of Jesus you have in your mind and throw it out and take an accurate picture of Jesus into your heart and soul, a picture that lets you live with a firm conviction that Jesus knows you as no one else knows you, that Jesus understands all the things you are going through, that Jesus loves you and cares for you and will never forsake you, will never let you down. What are the needs in your life and family today? Is there somebody here who is sick? Someone here who has a problem in their marriage or with their kids? Someone who needs a job? Someone who finds that the money is tight even here in the middle of the month. Kids who try to do right and just seems like no matter what they do, they fail. Men and women, young people, boys and girls. There is someone. Someone who understands you. There is someone who cares about the troubles you're going through. There is someone who can help. If you will turn to Him. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we often bear just because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus cares for you. Jesus loves you. Learn to know that personally, emotionally, deeply. It is probably one of the most important things you can learn in life. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the illustration in His life, His words, His works, of the very nature of our compassionate God. Thank you, Lord, for His love and His understanding. Thank you that He cares for everyone, old to young. Thank you for His ability to step into our lives and make a difference there. And Father, prevent that Satan would keep us from Him and cool our understanding of Him. Instead, Father, help us to develop a sincere trust a complete and honest openness to Jesus so that we can take our lives to Him entirely and know that He will understand and know that He will care. I pray this in the name of Jesus and for our sake and for His sake.
We're going to sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." I guess I didn't need this. It's 176 in your hymn book.